You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I think that early in Pentecostal Christianity, we hated the differences so much so that we felt it to be binding and convoluted in our walk with God. And in the 50s and 60s, if you became a Christian, there was a certain criteria that you had to employ, because those were things that were done by our apostolic fathers who made us realize that if you were a Christian, you had to live differently, and that lifestyle must be public. But in the time of the New Age movement in the 70s, and the charismatic applications began to awaken in our churches, we decided that it was okay to look like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, act like the world. It was okay. While we were extinguishing our light, we were having fun. We began to excuse certain behaviors. We are no longer repulsed by homosexuality and lesbianism. We're no longer repulsed by it. Why? The world and the system and the culture has anesthetized us to it. We don't feel anything when we see two men on TV kissing. We just go, look at that. That's it. But you keep looking at the program. I like a good police drama. I like a good drama that's involving law. I'm always captivated by those. And so when that show came on, How to Get Away with Murder, I liked the premise. A group of law students would be helping a defense attorney. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. And I kind of like this particular actress. And I thought, wow, some new talents. And I liked that show. Until they showed that one scene when she kissed that woman, I was done. I never watched it again. I won't even get the DVD. There are things that are just wrong in the kingdom, and you and I should stand up and say, that's wrong. The fable that most of us have heard in our youth that talked about the emperor's new clothes, when these two con artists, they conveyed to this emperor that he was so great that he had to have clothes that no one else had. And they promised to make him a garment that was so special that you had to be a great person in order to see it. And he paid them a hefty sum of money. And they acted like they made these special clothes, and they draped them in nothing. And he walks down the road waving to his people and bragging about the clothes. And some in the crowd was so afraid to be killed that they looked at him and said, oh, look at the emperor's clothes. They are beautiful. But a child stood up and said, but he's not wearing anything. And the emperor looked down and realized he had been taken by two guys from Columbia Avenue. And he ran off. You see, the church was supposed to be like that child and tell the world that they don't have anything on, that their religious applications are false, that the gods that they're chasing after are powerless and in many cases dead. It is our lives and our responsibility that is supposed to point to the cross and let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is you and I that are supposed to flood every secular medium that we can to let men and women know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We did ministry minutes several years ago. And Gracie and the media team and I worked to put these ministry minutes together that lifted the name of Jesus. And I gave her a serious charge. I said, I do not want these things to be put on a Christian station. God gave us favor, and we were able to put them on secular stations. By the grace of God, Bethel Deliverance International Church was the only church that KYW ever let put a commercial on their radio station. And we told dying men and women about Jesus wrapped up in a message of acceptance. God is looking for us to take our life and be different in the world. Yes, It's a cross that we can't do everything our flesh wants to. But brothers and sisters, a day is coming when the place that you want to go now, you will reign over it in the new world. If you remain faithful, we are finding ourselves being swallowed up in the vacuum of Satan worshiping. Why? Because there's no clear understanding as to who we are. It breaks my heart to hear people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Oh my God, should I preach? Should I teach? I don't know. I don't find a place to fit. My God. When I was born into my family, I never said, what should I be doing? I never felt, do I eat? Yeah, there was food on the table. Do I go outside to play? Yeah, everybody was going outside to play. I never felt like I don't belong. That's just self-righteousness. I just don't belong in the church. Nobody talks to me. Nobody talks to you at McDonald's, but you keep going. In fact, I stopped in there once to get me an iced tea. And I walked in, there was nobody behind the counter. So I asked the guy cleaning, I said, is there anybody working? I just want an iced tea. He said, go over to the kiosk. I said, what kiosk? He said, that kiosk, and you order. I said, wait a minute, I just want an iced tea. It was bad enough that they just gave you a cup. I said, all I want is an unsweetened iced tea. He says, you got to go to the kiosk. I said, wait a minute, I got to go to the kiosk and thumb through all of this when they don't want to hire a part-time worker. And that's how we've done God. We said to God, I don't want to read the Bible. I'd rather just listen to something in my cell phone. I don't want to pray. I'll have somebody pray for me. We don't know what to do anymore. I'll give him Sunday between 7:30 and 10, and that ought to be enough for the rest of the week. Well, what if your boss told you, I'll just pay you for the time you actually work? And so all the way through the Bible, God is trying to establish what? I'm in charge. We believe in the omniscience of God, but we act like he's not right there. Might surprise you to know that while you're committing the sin, Jesus is there looking at you. I'm very raw with my preaching, and I know I offend 2/3 of you, but you'll come around. If you're laying up in a hotel bed with somebody that you ain't supposed to be, you don't think you left Jesus down in the lobby. He's sitting right there going, weren't you singing on the praise team Sunday? I ain't talking about that with them. So don't go looking over there like, which one's he talking about? I'm just saying, you know, generally. Weren't you preaching in the pulpit Sunday? Yeah. And are you doing that? Yeah. You think you left him down in the car. But stay here for about 2-3 hours, Jesus. I'll be right back. Oh, I got to get that bottle out the trunk. And you don't think he saw you when you bought it? While you're at home watching the X-rated stuff on the cable network, what did you think he did? Got red-faced and walked out to the garage? No, he sat right next to you and shared your popcorn. And he's looking at it. Right there with you. A saint wanted to take me to my house once, and I was walking, and I said, all right, I'll get in the car. You never know what God wants to do. And I got in the car, and when I got in the car, they reached over to turn the radio on, and a secular station was blasting. And they quickly reached over and turned it off and said, my child. I said, you don't have any children. That's what you listen to. Jesus is sitting there listening to you. He knows what you're listening to. Do you actually think that he's offended? Oh, my goodness, they're listening to the Temptations. And not a one of them up here. Do you think he's embarrassed? No. He doesn't hide. He knows exactly what we're doing. Now just settle into it. Settle into the fact that nothing is hid. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. if I get on the wings of a bird and fly to the utmost parts of the earth and the heavens, you are there. There is no place to hide. He knows what I'm doing, my downsetting, my uprising. My thoughts are known from afar off. God knows if I'm going to sin tomorrow, but he still wakes me up. How much love can a person have? I go through a red light sometime. I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. But you knew I was in a hurry. I said, if you had worked with me, you would have turned it green. I said, I'll make it up to you at the next light. But I know he's there. I don't say the devil is alive. I went through that light. What am I saying? To understand your lifestyle, you must understand the omnipresence of God. You're not hiding from him. He knows everything, but he's not going to, if he hadn't killed you by now, he's not going to kill you. Now, I hate to bust the bubble of the Pentecostals. Oh, well, God's going to kill you. If God didn't kill you when you were in sin, why is he going to kill you after he adopts you? God will work with you. He will work with you and work with you. And if you fall seven times, he said he'll pick you up seven times. Even Jesus said that if somebody offends you 70 times seven, that's 490 offenses. I don't think there's anybody in here that can be offended 490 times a day. You need to settle into the fact that I'm forgiven. Amen. Put a smile on your face. Stop acting like a victim. God has forgiven you. However, say however. According to the writings of Paul the Apostle, to the Christians at Rome, in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He guarantees that grace abounds. But he said, should we continue in sin just to keep seeing the grace? It's rhetorical. He doesn't really expect you to answer. But a rational thinking person would have to say what you just said. No. He goes on to say, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Well, here's the question. We're saved, right? But are we dead to sin? Let me give it to you like this, and hopefully you can understand it better. Sometimes things in the Bible get a little difficult. You were dating somebody that you really, 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 really felt for. You were so attracted to that person, you almost had synchronous heartbeats. You would sit together and hear their heartbeat at the same time as yours. It is possible. Depending upon the connection, it is possible. One day, we need to really understand why God put such a premium on your emotions. Because that woman came out of that man. And if you find your rib, there is a connection beyond the physical. If you find your rib, there is a connection that's almost spiritual. You can feel what they're feeling, even if they're nowhere near you. But I ain't gonna fool with that now, because y'all looking at me going, I want that. Well, you're not gonna get it at 18. That's a 50-year-old feeling. Watch. Now, the individuals go out and you have that connection with someone. Say it was in high school or later on in your life. And then you meet the person that you declare to be your rib or the side. For the man, it's the rib. For the woman, it's the side. Woman, when you find your side, then you can take your place. See? But you got to find your side, which means you fit. There are a whole lot of nuances that go with that. Now watch. If it's possible for you to connect with your side or your rib, are you dead to the person that you once had feelings for? Or do you find yourself still thinking about them during moments of mental blankness? You can be sitting there with your rib and your side, and that person will come right through your mind, and you'll go, ooh. And your spouse will say, you okay, babe? Yeah. Whew. Now, here's what will happen. Because you're not dead to them, they will become not only the barometer for your relationship, and by that I mean that the success of your relationship will rise and fall based on how you are still connected to that first connection. You're not dead to them. Then, God forbid, you start comparing functions. Well, when I was with Susie, you know, she knew. I never had to tell her. And then it becomes the basis of argument. See, it's like, all right, you're with your spouse, and the two of you are being physical, and they omit something, and you, instead of sharing with them the omission to open up opportunities for clear communication, you hold it in, and you get angry, and then you say something like, I never had to tell so-and-so. They knew what to do. See, you're not dead to them. So as long as you're not dead to them, you find yourself connecting, and the connection destroys your upward mobility with who you have. Now, though you pontificate your Christianity, you are committing adultery. Because you're not dead to them. Then, as it goes, that person, first they're resurrected, then they're dressed, and then they are invited into your life. So now you're sharing that space with your spouse and the other person. Now you're double-minded. Then you'll find yourself dressing in a way that the other person used to like it. Now you're pleasing them in absentia. Now the devil's watching. And so one day, when you are completely enamored by the person, you run into them at the mall. Hi! Oh, my goodness! Watch. I've been thinking about you. You have? Yes! How have you been? What's going on in your life? Watch. Oh, well, I got married. You did. Are you happy? That answer then segues into, well, we had some crazy times, didn't we? You remember that time we were in the back seat of your grandfather's car in Fairmont Park at George's Hill? Yeah, I remember that. Why? You're not dead to it. You stood in front of the preacher and pledged your undying love and loyalty while in the back of your mind you had somebody on ice. Well, many of us came to Christ with a secret sin that we intentionally hid and fed it so we could bring it up again. We fed it with thoughts. We fed it with television shows. We fed it with relationships that kept us mindful of our past. Paul says, how shall we that are dead to sin continue in it? How? By entertaining it. Here's a passage of scripture that Paul uses that I've often found a great deal of affection for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen carefully. He said in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians Verse 1 said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, see, the things we've taught you, you ought to know how to walk and to please God. And he says, I want you to do this so you would abound more and more. What are you abounding in? Just find something in your life that you can identify a personal growth. I was talking to an attorney, and he was giving me some pointers on my future as a forensic psychologist. And he said, Eric, don't just stick with one, the prosecutor or the defense. He said, get hired by both. He said, that way you'll have a better reputation. And so we began to talk, and we were sharing for a couple of hours. And he said, you sure sound like you know what you're talking about. He says, that meant you committed and dedicated yourself to your studies. I was abounding in it. It made me knowledgeable.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Purpose of the Church, or the program number 03419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Fios Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All are invited to our annual Senior Life Expo, happening Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Seniors, come out and enjoy continental breakfast, lunch, morning stretch and workout, songs of joy and life, short skits, a senior choir, a senior craft table, fashion show, a health segment taught by our registered nurse, and much, much more. You don't want to miss this event. The address is 2923 West Sheltenham Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. We hope to see all seniors there.